Kufayim, Page Kufayim, Ches. By the three dots. So he suggested the following. The Mora says that the Mishnah says in Ovis that a person is Ne'er B'Laila and he's Mahalaf B'Derech Yechidi and he wastes, and finally with all the raising his Chayv and Nafsha. So Ben Yonah says why? Because these are such special moments, you finally have a chance to think about Dvar Mitzvah with the thing, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're all by yourself, nobody's to bother you. He has no malacha to do with night time or he's traveling, he can't do anything else. Nobody around to bother him. Instead of contemplating something of value, he is So he suggests that shows ka'elob shabadidus ba me'aleha elodah. You didn't seek out to be by yourself, but that it happens. Hey, mivchan aburoi, it could be a test. Ad kama hu chai beruchnius. How much ruchnius is where he is rooted? Kishabolo isha shaketa, he has a quiet moment. Lemalo isha machshava, he's baranus, simen hu kiu baal sechel iuni. So we said before, when you talk about the idea of the person who, it's not a superficial thought process, but it's rather that the person's mind is engaged. So when you have a moment, your mind will be engaged. They run the opposite direction. They meet face to face, mul adam zor, she'en lehem kol inyan lakiroi. There's this stranger that they don't really know, and therefore vehem emarim lotzes mimichitosa. They don't like sticking around with him. Ki b'shosh keta zu nemodim mul atz. Well, atzam hem rechaykin mizor ma'ay. If a person never really developed a depth of thinking about himself and about life and about, you know, different things, so his reaction will be this moment will be that it's very uncomfortable for him. Then he says, but what really should happen is the opposite. Bardash mechabe shas bedidus kibohu margeshu miskarv el atzmer lelomer. That's a moment when I finally have it. Nobody's around to bother me. Nobody to bother me. I have a chance to stop and really connect to myself. And then, loy rak shaw kazu habola b'mikra hu mekalu kumatam. Alaaf hu kaveya loy shaw kazu midei pam pam. So he tries to get that moment for himself. Okay. Says a footnote. Muba b'shlo b'shem sefer charedim shalvizal kosev shekol mashem moitzim b'sefer rishonim teichacha techachas al oven segufim v'yisurim koshim. Okay, that they would do these whole processes for kapara for their avarus. Lo nisker elo lemish eino meila b'ter. The person is a simple person. He's not learning anything. So do that. Lemish terasa umnasei. He knows how to contemplate a Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is what he should do. Don't weaken yourself, because it's going to undermine your learning. Once a week, go away from people. You have a private day. And you'll connect to him. Ein shom hilchus tshuva, the beer tevis ubilvav vech. Mepicho bilvav chola soy soy. That's bilvav chol. Umizem nov and l'mimeno l'darvus sein. We can extrapolate. He gam shachas shall his brothers he tikkun niflo. Reish shom aflogus ha'dvor mi malus ha'bedidus. having that that quiet moment is a tremendously powerful thing.
It's in the discussion of Shabbat Nevoi that the person is supposed to be kosher by Hashem.
Right, so Rolba is borrowing it, his thought process, that the way I understand what he's saying is that take a person, put him in a quiet spot all by himself for a period of time with no interaction, his mind is going to wander. He will not be kasher his mind to Kadosh Baruch Hu unless he has a natural inclination to have that connection. But if he doesn't, Rebbe writes to Caleb Bays in one place. He says that he has a fascinating. It's one of these auras which, like, you look at and you realize that you only have that aura if you're holding in that world of thinking like that. He says when you learn the Geras HaTshuva of the Ben Yonah, you realize that different than that, the Rebbe writes that when an average person, when their mind wanders, the focus point of most of their wandering, their daydreams is about themselves, about the past, about the future, etc. Usually not about the present. Most daydreaming is about something I did or something I will do, or what will happen or did happen, not about what I should be doing right now. That's not daydreaming. So, but as opposed to that's what normally happens, by the Bnei Yarna, you saw when he had when his mind wandered, he thought about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he's like, from the different things that the Bnei Yarna says, like you see, like, you know, talking about the deer, when you have a free moment, etc., you realize that, like, for him, the natural connection was to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, you can't pick up that thought of that unless you're holding on that wavelength. But so the Arizal, you know, that is saying this, the Charedim is quoting it, the Shloah is, you know, quoting it. You know, this is what you do. So Rebbe says, you know, we're not holding there, but we do, as it were, daydream about ourselves. But there's daydreaming about yourself, because that's something which your mind will go to, and then there's connecting into yourself. So a person, now, truth to be told, that the average person who reaches the point where he's connecting into himself will, which means awareness of who he is and what he has the ability to accomplish in his life, the thoughts will end up being about purpose, which is your service, which is basically the miskashon to Kadosh Baruch Hu for our purpose. That's what will happen. But the process, he says, is through a process of being miskar belatzma. Ain't kan dibur chasidus. Kol adam bar menafsh, any person who's healthy, murav b'dayti m'briyas, and he's very comfortable with other people. Margish hechrach p'nimi l'isyachet imatzim l'itzim. It feels a need to get a break, to be with himself. V'enu mas b'trisha p'nimis zu, who garam nezik rav l'nafsh, and if he doesn't address it, it can cause damage to the person.
A lot of us, every time you drive to work, you're always by yourself. Is that sufficient to Yasi what he wants, what he's suggesting? A person travels, he's always by himself. He goes for a walk.
That's what you're saying. That's one of those opportune moments.
When I drive, I just space out. I don't really think about it.
Exactly. That's what you're saying. That's the problem. Right. So the average person, when he drives,
I don't turn on the radio. I have to drive without anything. No, I just drive. I just sit.
Right. So we have different people do things. Some people space out. Their mind wanders, like, whatever about whatever.
That's what I do most of the day, actually. When I daven, when I learn, everything. Always.
Then some people will turn on the radio because they don't like that they're sitting without any noise. Some people will turn on a shear because they're fruit. Right? you know, take advantage of the opportunities. Right? So there are different ways of doing it, but his point is, now, the reality is to really connect it to yourself sometimes while you're driving. It's a little bit harder because you should be focusing on driving, to some extent. But a certain amount, you can, you know, yeah, it's a moment to, you know, to, and I think what his point is saying, it shouldn't be forced. I am now thinking about myself. So the problem when you do that, it usually lasts about 30 seconds. And then your mind wanders again. Right? So if it's not an inclination, you know, the person's so inclined. But rather, you know, when a person is so inclined, right, so the person can really, you know, like, you have to think, how am I feeling? What am I feeling? What's really going on inside of me? You know, why am I so frustrated about these things? You know, it's not like he has to sit there and make a decision to do it. It's just like a natural. You know, my story I have about the breakfast table, right? Come on, you know my story about the breakfast table. So there was a guy in Tells, sweet guy, and he would come every morning and he would prepare a dvar to say my breakfast. Because you know, to sit by a table and not say any dvar Torah. You used to irk me. Why? If a person is truly a ben Torah, and he's truly leading and learning, the natural conversation about the breakfast table will be about learning. If we need to prepare a dvar Torah to say my breakfast table, now the fellow who did it, it's a sweet fellow, and you know, just like, you know, Zikr Rabim type of guy, you know, they're fine. But, you know, it's hard to understand that a person is contemplating a Gemara. And I used to watch one of my Rebbeim by their breakfast table. So, Rabbi Yankel Kohn, dark side, we're walking, and says, I'm showing my Hagiddish! Like, eventually he's like, okay, I'm now giving Yotzer Dinos. He was walking in, bursting with a Hagiddish. That's what was on his mind. The whole way from the base matters to the dining room, he's thinking about the Kiddush. So he walked in, he saw somebody. He said, come on, I can say the Kiddush to somebody. You know, like, he didn't need to make a decision to do that. That's what the Morris says the definition of Talmud Chacham is. He doesn't go down on below Torah.
Right, it doesn't mean that he's sitting in, because he's always careful to...
Right, it means that his natural. You know, right, he's I get this at rare moments, you know, when I'm, you know, I have to present something. So I'm walking to my house to yeshiva, and I'm thinking, so okay, so what? And talking about, my mind is working on that choice. So I'm thinking about, okay, so what does switch really mean? It's just natural. That's what's going to happen. But other times, you know, when I don't have the pressure, I must finish it by now. Well, sometimes I want to do something else. But like, you know, here I am with you. Remember one time I was saying a medrash rod. You know, I don't do it anymore now. Very sad. But it tells. I was walking from my house to shoot. It was a 15-minute walk. And the whole thing prepared. The Shabbos afternoon, I have no notes. It's all done, you know. Since I didn't decide before Shabbos what I wanted to say and what I'm going to say, so I had no notes. As I'm causing over in my mind the thing, all of a sudden he says, maybe there's a different way to learn that Marat. You know? And like I had to revamp the whole, just like your mind's thinking about it, just happens. All of a sudden, a whole new mahalo kind of start thinking about it. It's just natural. So, part of the natural thought process, a healthy person is he wants to think about what's going on with himself. It's just like, it's like natural. You know, I want to, you know, the person sort of like connects, he's connected to his reality.
So the Kach HaMachshava and the Seichel Yuni develop. Which we called, you know, this, that level of thinking where it's being superficial. Okay. A person develops a whole new level of thought. So then, like, the prattle just doesn't interest him as much. I suppose the person feels like, I need to fill the space with words. Okay. So Dr. Vasim Tamuras Rav Demurecha. So the Chavos Abbas says, exchange, places of exchange, all of your words, Aruch Machshavtecha, developing your thoughts, Mahasmodis Vechinoscha, Vachesh Vinimashacha. And calculating what's tutzach by the, that's what you should do instead of talking. Instead of talking so much, you should be contemplating. Okay. Lulei alai lulah yidana mahem ekecham. Poetic thought process. You know, if you know night, you wouldn't know what stars are. Kate said, "Harei b'shosa yom, Hashem shmiira es haaretz, mastira meinenu es ekecham." The stars are out during the daytime also, but the sun is so bright you can't see them. When the sun is out, we're not looking up, we're looking at Rachim Shkiya Sakam, we read its Khoshek Aloris, Niskalam Akhovim, Upaiskim Lifeneno Ofokim Khadashim Kimat Ain Sofiyim. So when the sun sets and all this brightness sort of goes away, so we open new horizons open up. Right? When it gets dark. When you're with people, you're sort of like focused on those things, interactions, etc. So your midas, your tzorim, your desires is all focused on the interaction, which is very usually very 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 physical focused. In the lower parts of the person. When you leave, when the darkens that part of your body, you're not focusing on the physical part. It's you know, you sort of moved away from that interaction. Then you can go to the heights. They're drawing to us, they're twinkling at us like stars. This pasha, like you almost would never even know that it existed until you get to those moments. Okay. You want to see the heavens in your neshama with the stars. Hapil l'shoa iskei oritz, darken as it were iskei oritz. So he's pointed biskalo b'kibuchal rabimus. That's what Bedidus is. Quite a poetic type of presentation. My wife told me a good story. The story is from years ago. A lot of years ago. The principal of the school brought in an article from Reader's Digest about, you know, in our society where we're constantly being bombarded with sound. There's constantly, you know, the noise is overwhelming. So it's very important for mental health purposes that a person takes off 3 times a day, 15-minute break, do meditation, and just be quiet and get connected into what's going on inside of yourself. He says that's so they decided, based on the new medical research, this is very important for the health of a person's body and his mind, to do that 3 times a day. And many people use that, you know, we call that prayer, something like that. She says they just discovered the Shon Esrei, you know.
They call it 3 times a day to just to The Rish Lakish was saying that, we call prayer, they call prayer.
So, you know, I think the article says something along those, people, this is what people call prayer, something along those lines.
It's not prayer. That's not what we do when we pray.
So what do we do when we pray?
Well, some of us do it exactly that. We space out. So it's beautiful.
I think, I have to tell you that I think that based on Revolver's poetry, that the phrase space out is a euphemism. It's ground out, not space out. Right? The problem is it's very artsyistic, not very shemindic. It's not heaven. It might be space, but it's not heaven. It isn't heaven out. Shemon Esrei is heavening out. Rani Yehuda says Shemon Esrei is that a person is mispashit, all tzorchei guf me'al nishmosai. And he reaches the madrega korev l'nevua, and he stands up and lifnei HaKadosh Baruch. So it's for a moment you get out of touch of the world. You darken, as it were, the tzarkei haguf, the kavanos of the ancient, and you stand in the presence of your Creator. And you feel that moment, which if we would do it right, that delicious moment of feeling an neshama, and the neshama feels the presence of its Creator. And we would get be like energized from a tefillah, right? You just mamash connected into the burrit. That's how tefillah is supposed to look like. So Revolba actually has there's a little country from Revolba which is reprinted called Shalhevis Kor. You ever saw it? So eventually it was printed in the together with another sefer from Revolver, which came out. The sefer, you know, the Chazal have a lashon ben kesel la'osur, right? And kesel stands for kesel imchagenu Rosh Hashanah, and osur is Yom Kippur. So he put out a sefer called ben sheshes la'osur. It was chosen, he said, between the 6 day war and the Yom Kippur war. Ben sheshes, the sheshes yom, the 6 day war, la'osur, the Yom Kippur war, the 10, you know. And it's a set of shoes that he spoke about during that tekufa, you know, like a whole new Metzias in Eretz Yisrael. They had all of this Rav this, and then it was like sort of imploded in the Yom Kippur War, and they thought they were so powerful, etc. He has a whole series of shoes that he gave. He put on this sefer called Ben Sheshes Laos. So eventually he printed the two together. The Shalhevis Kor. Shalhevis Kor was written as a kiruv sefer. And he talks about tefillah. He mamash this command, uses these exact same lashonas. He talks about tefillah. He says it's that moment of all the noise around us, and all of a sudden it's total quiet because I'm being inspired with incarnate. That's how he writes. That's how he describes prayer. It was eventually printed in English also, called Shalhevis Kor. His English name. I have it in Yeshiva has it also, I think. I forgot what it's called. They put it together one sefer. They had no name for it or something like that. But that's what tefillah is supposed to look like. And I said, I talk about davening. I've touched that type of davening rare times. You touch it for a moment in your davening. You touch it like you feel like so uplifted and so like just out of this, you know, just connected. And you know, and when you experience that once, you want to like convey to your talmidim or convey to your like you know. No. That's not it. That's not what it's about. What you think is davening, like you know, just like no, and like you're like, huh? You know, as the saying goes nowadays with the Washington Post, if you don't get it, you don't get it. Okay, let's hold it here.